Everything's good on my end. And we're recording all the things.
Recording all the things.
Recording all the things. Exactly.
That's the title for this podcast.
Recording there all we go. The things. Already, we already got that one sewn up.
Yeah.
We already got that one sewn up. We'll just, you know what? And we'll actually, we'll consider that the show started.
Yeah.
We'll just get right into it. We won't even, like, clap delay. We won't delay. No countdown. I don't even use that, eh?
No?
No, I don't even use that. I just use the Skype track. Because there's the Skype recording.
Yeah. Does it split our both tracks?
Yes. Or,
oh, so you can see where, I guess.
Yeah. So I just line... It creates its own individual versions of each of us. So I just... put one on top of each other and then just line them up perfectly and then line them up to the track that's got both in it, both of us in it. Like, it still puts in one track that has both audio combined, so then I can line it up to that and it's perfectly synced. It works really well.
Cool.
There you go. There's the podcasting tip of the week: audio editing. And I do that in Audacity, if anybody's wondering. Recording all of the, yeah, there we go. It's not like I'm gonna forget that. That's a beauty. So I don't even, this isn't really follow up. I don't know why I put it up in follow up. I figured out how to get an RSS feed of all of the blog posts from devto.ca into it'll work in iTunes. So I think
but how does it get the like the actual podcast?
Well, do you remember FeedBurner?
Mm-hmm.
That still like exists.
Yeah.
So FeedBurner lets you put in like an RSS feed, and you can say that it's like a podcast, and it will let you. It'll put in all the like stuff you need into the feed it generates. Okay.
The name of the file?
Oh yeah, dude, it's awesome. I'll send it to you. It's just feedburner.com wait a minute. feeds.feedburner.com/416 And yeah, feeds. It's pretty cool.
Feedburner.
Yeah. Load it up. Take a look. So I can submit that to iTunes. It should work. At least to get it started.
So how does iTunes get the file name? Like the actual podcast,
it's in each entry.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Like I have no.
How does it know that? Podcast.
I think maybe FeedBurner probably reads through the content of the post and pulls out the MP3 file. Like,
oh yeah, it's there.
Right.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it probably does smart things.
Huh.
But FeedBurner, like, what the hell? I don't even know how I figured... I don't even remember where I stumbled onto that in terms of knowing that I could do that. That's interesting. But I'll put that stuff in the show notes.
That's cool.
Yeah. So even before we get into Libsyn, I can probably just submit that.
Just do that.
Yeah.
See.
Yeah. See what happens.
Interesting.
And then we can just update the feed, I think. I guess. I have no idea what you can do through the iTunes interface and stuff. Yeah. So I had a bit of a crisis of topics.
Yeah.
Today.
I saw.
I've been messaging you.
I didn't
even
get a chance to contribute any topics, really.
That's okay. Well, I was like messaging you like the other day. It was like, I can't think of anything to talk about. I had nothing to talk about. And I tweeted a couple of things and I got some like good topics, but they're a little out of my pay grade, for one. Like, I'm just not terribly knowledgeable about any of them. So, I can't really speak about them in a sort of intelligent way. So, you know, I'd need a little bit of time to research some of that stuff. And I
prepare
just...
prepare for that.
Yeah, preparation, man. Don't have... I would say didn't have time. I did have the time. I was too lazy. I'm just gonna admit it. It's just, yeah. But
so this is like 2 months of podcast now.
Yeah,
it's good.
How's
it 2 months only? Actually,
eight.
We started in January.
Yeah, January the second week in January.
And it's only been 8 weeks.
Yeah, we've been doing one a week.
Actually, yeah, that does make sense.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Yeah. So you got any sort of like follow up or updates?
I'm still recovering from the cough now. Apparently, people are telling me you have the 100-day cough, which is a cough that lasts, I guess, after you get the flu. Sticks around.
That's 3 months and 10 days.
I don't think I have the 100-day cough.
Smoking doesn't help.
It's only been 3 weeks. Actually, it's been a while. 3 weeks is a while.
Yeah, man, that's halfway. That's not halfway. What am I even talking about?
Yeah, so we'll see.
But you're feeling better though, right?
I'm not sick anymore. It's just just still coughing. And it seems like it gets worse at night.
And that's like when you need to not cough.
I know.
You want to go to sleep. Do you still have that really good cough medicine?
No, it's done.
Oh, man. That's a bummer. It was good. Yeah, that was funny because we were talking about that. I had that stuff a couple of years ago when I was super, super sick. And I had the same problem. Like, at night, I couldn't sleep. I think I went a couple of days without sleeping, too, before I ended up going to the walk-in clinic. And they sent me to, not the emergency room, but like there's another one.
Walk-in?
No, it's like a non-critical kind of emergency room where, like, you know, it's nothing that you can't wait a little while to see a doctor about. Mm-hmm. And then he was like, I'm going to write your prescription for some cough medicine. It's like loaded with codeine. which did the trick.
Yeah, it definitely does the trick. It doesn't cure it.
Oh, no.
It just like...
It lets you sleep.
It lets you sleep.
Yeah, it just knocks you out. It's great. Yeah. And like the cough, there's like, you know, there's the actual cough medicine that suppresses the cough, and then the codeine that just, you know, makes sure you go to sleep.
Yeah, that's exactly it. It just suppresses it.
Yeah.
You gotta like just wait till your body just cures itself, I guess.
Yeah, I guess in health updates, my allergies are just a disaster.
Oh shit, already?
Yeah, man. It's just the change of seasons does it to me. Yeah. When I was a kid, like, I was allergic to everything 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Like, everywhere I went, I was freaking allergic to something. It was terrible.
I only got them once. I don't know why, but it was just 1 year that I just got, like, crazy allergies.
Did you move to a new place or something?
No. It was in Hamilton. I've been living there for, like, 5 years. And then something about just 1 year, and all of a sudden one day, like, I was fine. It was in the middle of the summer, I remember. And then all of a sudden I went out for a smoke, finished my cigarette, came back in, and just like my eyes started itching, started sneezing. And it lasted for about a week.
That's interesting, because my sister, after they moved from Brampton to Windsor a bunch of years ago, she developed like allergies of some kind after moving. She never had allergies, excuse me, when, you know, we were growing up as kids and, you know, in the southern, you know, the greater Toronto area. After they moved, she ended up having allergies, and, you know, the assumption was that it was all the pollution from the area, factories and stuff like that. So who knows? I don't know. Anyways, that's enough of us with
health issues
and being old and stuff. # old and tired.
Old and tired.
Old and tired.
That was a good podcast. You need to listen to it the other day. Oh,
God. I think we'll have Jason on again.
Yeah.
We'll do some, maybe another guest one or something. Mm-hmm. I think he'll be okay to fill in for, like, if somebody's got a bail at the last second or is away or something like that. It's always good to have some people around like that.
Yeah, for sure.
So, remote working. This one, like I said, I was struggling for topics, and I don't know. I thought we could talk about remote working for a little bit.
Yeah.
Have you ever done remote work?
Yeah. Like, well, I worked, like, I guess mostly from home, I guess, in terms of remote work. But yeah, like, we have some people in the office. It's not like full-time remote. You still come into the office.
Yeah.
Parts of the week. We've got someone right now that basically, I think, 2 days, I think it was, that works from home for, like, just family convenience.
Right. Help out with the kids and stuff.
Yeah. I don't think we've ever had, like, people, like, that are just remote full-time all the time, I guess. Right. But that'd be interesting to see how that, like, I've read a lot about, like, we read the book about, like, I guess it's called Remote, 37 Signals.
Mm, yeah, I haven't read it, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, so it's a good book, and it's like, and...
Well, they're very, very pro.
And they're all remote, yeah. Most of them. So...
So is Buffer.
So is Buffer,
Buffer,
yeah.
We're big fans of Buffer.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of Buffer. But that's one of the reasons why. It's because they're a totally remote-friendly company. WordPress is totally remote.
So it does work, for sure.
Yeah.
But I guess you got to develop the right, maybe, like, the tools to... maybe not just tools, just, like, I guess, like, kind of... everybody, like, I guess, Google Hangouts or Skype or whatever. And I don't see why you wouldn't... work as a full-time thing.
Oh, for sure. But I think we've touched on this before. I feel like I'm repeating myself when I'm saying this, but when you look at those companies as examples, the reason why remote work works is because the people that are running those companies believe that remote work works.
Mm-hmm.
That's why. It's not something that, like, HR is trying to implement. It's not something that, like, you know, somebody wants to do so that they can take care of an old parent or something like that, mm-hmm. at home. It's something that's there by default, and it's a part of how the people that are owning and running these companies believe that a company should be run. So it, like, there's no friction.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, and it seems like, you know, that's why it works. That a company, like a company doing remote work, will work when it's sort of done that way. I think.
No, agreed. I think that I think there was a line in that book. No, it wasn't called Remote. It was called Rework.
Yes.
So in that book, there was this one line that basically talks about like, people don't go to the office to do work, because, like, when you're in the office, there's all sorts of other distractions, more so than at home, that prevent you from doing work. And which is kind of like counter the argument where at some companies they think, okay, if you're at home, you're going to be distracted by stuff, and hence why you shouldn't work from home, which is kind of like ridiculous in my mind.
I totally agree.
Like, at some point you gotta think, did I hire adults or did I hire children that I need to supervise and babysit? And if you hire children, then that's your fault.
Yeah.
But presumably you hired adults that can manage their own time and do the work regardless of where they are.
If they're not managing their own time at home, what makes you think they're doing it when they're at work?
Exactly.
I mean, just because they're there doesn't mean they're doing anything.
Exactly. That's the counter, like, argument. I find it more visible in, like, the technology field. Unlike other fields, like in technology, I feel like there's a lot of people in different companies, in, like, I guess project managers and even senior management, that maybe you don't understand the work and are trying to manage it, and the only way they can, and that's by seeing if people are at their seats. And
yeah. Yeah. So you see that. It's just, like, an old-fashioned way of...
A lot of, like, the much larger corporations and with like hundreds of, I guess, developers or whatever.
There's no way you can know if every single one of them is doing anything.
No, you can't.
It's impossible.
And then like you have all this stuff where like, okay, you walk around and if you find someone on some website, oh, they're not doing work, but maybe they're researching stuff. It's like, if it's not like if they're not coding, they're not working.
Yeah.
So I find that more of an issue in like the developer roles than.
Well, and it seems, you know, that developers kind of, it's kind of odd because, you know, a lot of people say that, and I do tend to agree with this, that, you know, being a developer is sort of like a creative kind of thing. And a lot of the people that developers work with are creative people, designers, UX people, stuff like that. And, you know, people that do that type of work oftentimes, you know, don't do it on a schedule.
Yeah, because right? You can't.
Like,
you can't, like, turn on the creative button and say, okay.
It's like, okay, I'm going to be productive, like, right now. I'm going to go to work, and I'm going to sit down, and at 9:30 after the stand-up, I'm going to start being productive. Like, and I'm, you know, just going to switch it on. Like, it just doesn't work that way.
No, it's like you always get, like, the strangest ideas while you're having a coffee or you're walking or you're in the shower or you're asleep even.
The shower is my time. That sounded terrible. The shower is where...
All right, new podcast title.
No, there's no way. There's no way I'm going to make it that.
Recording all the things in the shower.
Shower.
It's my time.
No. The shower is when I get a lot of ideas. That's all. And walking. That's why I walk so much.
Yeah.
That's why I like walking.
You must have had a lot of ideas if you walked a million, what was it? A million miles last year or something?
Was it? Yeah, maybe it might have been.
A million steps?
A million steps in the first 3 months of this year. Wait. No.
No. What? That's insane.
No, never mind. No.
Millions.
Wow. I have to check it. I wish there's the thing that we're getting completely diverted from remote, but that's a good thing about remote working.
Yeah.
You can like go for walks around your neighborhood and shit. Mm-hmm. It's easier.
And I like I've been reading like some people do like they'll do half a day at the office and then half a day at a co-working space or
yeah
at a coffee shop or
it's so easy for like what we do for a lot of the people that do things even remotely related to the tech industry. I'm making finger quotes with my fingers, but it's true. Like, I don't know, it's just kind of odd. It doesn't seem to be something that is very prevalent in Toronto from where we're from.
Actually, the book was called Remote.
Remote, Rework. I think they had another book called Rework.
They had another book called Rework. That's why I'm confused.
Making all the books. We can just take a minute. And that's one of the first... Actually, I think 37 Signals is where I really got my exposure to remote working.
Yeah.
If I'm honest, I can't really... I think I knew it existed before 30... I knew about 37 Signals, but I mean, I've known about 37 Signals for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's from the late 90s before they were doing, like, all the products. Mm-hmm. Like, when they were just a service company, like, doing mm-hmm. websites and stuff. Like, that's when I'd known about them. But that's when I really started getting exposed to it and, like, really sort of believed. And I tried doing remote work, just the company at the time. It didn't work very well for that kind of thing. When I was working at Richmond Day before where I am now, I mean, I oftentimes would work at home. I'd just say I'm going to work at home. And they'd be like, mm-hmm. whatever, that's cool.
Yeah.
I had way more freedom. Like, I mean, I was a team of one, basically, right? There was two of us, so we each had our own stuff to do. So there was really not a lot of point in being in the office a lot of the time.
I see.
But, we our entire sales team where I am now is remote.
I guess it'd have to be, like...
Well,
if you're, like, doing... like in-person sales?
Yeah.
Like if you're in the office, it's like probably you're not doing your job.
Yeah, as like a salesperson. Yeah, I mean, if you're in your office, you're on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And if you're not on the phone, you're out the door going to somebody to have an appointment, right? Mm-hmm. But, like, I mean, our sales team also is not just in Toronto. There's only a couple of them in Toronto. They're spread out all over Canada and the U.S., right? So,
mm-hmm.
And then we have one person, Jen, who works. She lives way out in, like, way out. I'm not going to name where, but far away. It's, like, a long drive.
In North America?
Yes. Close to the greater Toronto area. But she lives as far away. And she works at home Monday and Tuesday every week, and then is in Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, which works great. I mean, I wouldn't say that it's had any serious effect on any of her work. I've worked with her a ton over the years.
Yeah.
So, and we actually have a nice policy where you can, if you're like sick, kind of, but you think you can still work, sort of, kind of a thing, you can just work at home, which I think is a smart idea.
It's good.
Don't go to
get
work
everybody sick.
Yeah, exactly. Don't be that person. That's the worst.
That's the worst.
They have like
get the whole dev team sick.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, especially like we have a VPN, so you can just VPN, get access to everything. You're good to go.
Yeah.
Lay in bed, feel sick, and do some work.
Last couple of months, also, I liked kind of going to our office at Bright Lane to do some of our own DevTO work. I found like even just like not doing it from home, just going to a place to do work was like a co-working space or a coffee shop or something. It makes a big difference in terms of like your productivity.
Totally, because
you're out of that. You're out of the home mode.
Yeah, like you went to this place, you know, supposedly for a purpose, right? So you're gonna do what you intended to do. Like that should be what you do.
Mm-hmm. Like right? The International Women's Day banner that was designed at Bright Lane.
Nice.
And it was like it was good. It was like, okay, I'm gonna go and I'm gonna get this banner. I've never done a banner before. I'm gonna figure it out and.
And that's especially good for situations like that, like to get out of the house, like to go be somewhere where it's like, okay, I can't really just walk away from this. I'm stuck doing this in a way, you know, I came here, I'm going to actually sit down and do this thing. So it's got that sort of motivating factor as well.
Off topic, but just that banner reminded me. Did you see those tweets when I tweeted the banner about for feedback?
Oh, that whole entire thread with that
there
guy just
thread,
went
was just
crazy
like,
on it.
Yeah, it was. We got all this feedback, and it was great feedback. And
yeah,
I took some of it, but it was just like it was way more than I.
I wonder if he knew.
Expected.
Did you at some point say like, "Yo, this is like I'm not a professional designer in any way"?
No.
Because
I just left it there. I was like, okay, thank you for the feedback.
Yeah, like he was obviously. Well, I mean, nobody's obviously anything on the internet.
but
it seemed to me that he was an expert in his field.
Yeah,
based on the feedback he was giving.
Yeah, it seemed like and I did. I cleared up some of the issues. There was one thing that I didn't know about. Apparently, there's this unwritten rule, no more than 3 fonts on banners.
Yeah, I knew that. How many did you have on there?
4, I think.
Oh, God, okay, that's, come on. If it was like 7.
It looked fine. It looked like, I changed the one, like, I had, like, if you saw those cards that were getting tweeted out for the speakers, and there was, the speaker name was written in this kind of, like, cursive kind of font.
Yeah.
That didn't look good it was fine on the banner, but I guess it was too unclear, maybe at that size or whatever.
Right.
Anyway.
I don't know anything about print things.
No, I learned more than I ever thought I would learn about print. But
that seems to be like a that's you know, bit of a dying field.
But people still need things printed.
It's very niche now. It's very niche.
The print shop we used, they apparently in the building they were in, and that's Mod Street printers.
Yeah.
So they had at some point, I think he said like the whole floor, and all their print machines were there and everything, and they've been kind of downsizing, and their print shop is actually, I don't know, somewhere Barrie maybe or something.
It's probably outsourced. They probably don't even do it themselves.
Yeah, well, probably. But there's like, yeah, it's like it's not, and that just became, it's just an office to like manage the business, I guess, and
like sort of a storefront kind of a thing, right? Yeah. No, it's crazy, man.
But yeah, now you look at like there's all these services online. There's like software as a service to print stuff.
Oh yeah, business card services.
Yeah,
dude. Here's a perfect example. Me and Stacey just did our wedding invitations.
Yeah,
online. Like, didn't even have to go to a person. Didn't talk to anyone. Just went to the website, put it all in there, did the whole thing, picked all the stuff, and done. There you go, finished.
Yeah. Did you do those save the dates?
No, like we had. Stacey set up like this website through one of those website things and just like emailed that to everyone.
Yeah, exactly. I remember having this debate with Carmen. She's like, oh no, we have to mail stuff. That's what people do. And then we found this website where basically it's just like almost like an e-invite, just like for weddings.
Like an announcement kind of thing.
Yeah. And then it gives you just like analytics, who opened it, who accepted it, who's going to be there. And then it was perfect. And it was like you didn't have to have people to call in to RSVP or mail something back. And
yeah, no, that's exactly it.
Yeah,
boom. We went way off topic on remote working. I guess you couldn't
we had a lot to talk about, I guess.
I know, eh?
Turns out,
yeah, you know, that kind of happens.
It's good. So you wanted to talk about transit
etiquette. I want to talk about transit etiquette. I don't think that's etiquette. Yeah, that's how you spell etiquette.
I think so. Looks it like is. There's a sufficient number of T's and E's and
Q's
and yeah, it looks right to me.
Yeah.
Google Docs didn't highlight it.
Yeah, exactly. So you know you're good if it's past spelling.
There we go.
No red. Yeah, there you go. See, no red nails. Just playing around with my perfectly typed notes. Perfectly spelled notes. Yes. So yeah, no, transit etiquette. I'm sure most people listening to this are from Toronto.
Yeah.
And I've noticed a distinct increase in bad behavior on the TTC lately. I don't know what it is. I'm serious. And I don't know if it's maybe because it's getting a lot more crowded. Mm-hmm. And so there's just more people and there's just more shitty people doing shitty things. Because it feels like the TTC is like a way more crowded.
Yeah, I haven't been taking it much lately. Mostly on weekends.
That's a totally different scene than...
Even that, not as much as I used to.
Yeah, and rush hour is a totally different scene.
Yeah, but... So what kind of bad behavior?
So, yeah, I can get in. So backpacks on all the time. Never off. Everyone. Men, women, old people, young people. I'm just like, what in the actual fuck is wrong with every single one of you people? Like, messenger bags don't bother me because, like, they're sort of thin and skinny, right?
Yeah.
Purses are fine because they're small. But, like, I'm like a legit backpack.
Yeah.
You know, like, take it off. What the fuck is the problem? Mm.
Put it on the floor next to your legs.
Like, it's like... Anyways. Yeah. Take your fucking backpack off. God damn it. So here's another one. I noticed this yesterday. Yesterday I was coming home. And there's this man that's always on the streetcar at the time when I'm coming home from work, And he's got a cane, and he has trouble walking. And, you know, so you'd sort of expect that people would let him get onto the streetcar first, right? You know? And there's been a couple of times where people, again, men, women, young and old, just, like, obliviously sort of cut in front. And never mind, I mean, so yeah, cutting in front of old people and people that are disabled and are having trouble doing things, you know, don't do that.
Yeah, it's not good.
And this is another interesting thing, which is kind of something that baffles me, is that I don't know if this happens on the bus, because I don't really take the bus, I take the streetcar. But people don't, like, make a line to get onto these things, you know?
Yeah, I find, like, there's, like, always almost, like, three lines, like...
Make a friggin' wall of, yeah, like, two people deep at best.
Yeah.
And then everybody just kind of, like, swarms towards the thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm
gonna have to... It seems like the TTC has gotten worse.
It has. And so I think that's what it is. I think that's... I don't think I'm, you know, getting all, you know, too old and get off my lawn and stuff like that.
Like, for me, it's been... it's been, like, 5 years since... Ooh. I've been taking the TTC every day to work. Man. When I was last working downtown.
You would notice.
But it was pretty packed then, too. But now what I do notice... So I used to live on, like the west end of Toronto, or, like, Humber Loop area.
Yeah.
And the stop that I would get on, the streetcar was always empty.
What?
At the time, 5 years ago. Now, when I have taken it, it's, like, almost full by the time it gets to where I'm still by Humber Loop, but now it's almost full. It's like before, I've always got a seat.
Yeah.
I was like, but there's all these new condos, and I guess more people moved into this, like, Humber Loop, like...
Oh, that area is just... that
Lakeshore
totally
West area. And all these condos, and there's just so much more people that now the streetcars are just... they're already packed. Like, I remember 5 years ago, the Queen streetcar would be packed, like...
by, maybe, like, Roncesvalles.
Yeah, Roncesvalles, it would get packed there. That's where, like, that's it. People are starting to stand.
Yeah, now it's packed at, like, Park Lawn.
Yeah, now it's, like, at Park Lawn. It's, like...
Yeah. Because I, only, like, you know where I am.
Yeah.
Which is...
You'd probably still get a seat.
There's days... Most days I can. I don't usually sit.
Really? Even that more...
Oh, yeah. Some days, like, there's just... Well, I'm pretty picky about where I'll sit, too. I don't mind standing. Because at that point, like, I can stand in the places where I'd like to stand on the streetcar.
Right.
I have a very particular streetcar. Like, if I'm alone, like, I have very particular streetcar habits, maybe obsessions.
Obsessions?
Like, I don't like sitting next to strangers on the streetcar.
Oh, yeah?
I try to avoid that whenever possible. So, like, I like to sit in the single seats.
I gotta pause you for a second, because I forgot to plug my computer in.
Are you getting... I'm not even going to edit this part out. It's funny. What was I even talking about? Oh, yeah, my streetcar. Peculiarities. There we go. That's what I'm going to call them. I have to just remember that, or else I'll forget to keep talking about it when Neil gets back. Alright. Streetcar peculiarities. I was talking to myself while you were gone. I'm not even going to edit any of that out. I'm just going to leave it all in. Yeah. Streetcar peculiarities. Yeah. So, most recently, like, I will stand. I will stand when I can. On the streetcar, when I'm alone. Same thing with the subway. I prefer standing. I just, yeah. Unless, you know, there's that, so yeah, like, there's the rows of single seats on the streetcar. I'll sit on those, not during rush hour, like, during off hours, I'll sit there.
Mm-hmm.
During rush hour, I'll usually just stand. I don't know. I think I might.
I don't mind those single seats, and like just like I like standing in the middle. That's in the like the center area of the streetcar.
Yeah, where it's sort of there's the recesses. Oh, you mean where the twisty part?
The twisty part.
I'm not a big fan of the twisty part.
No, I feel like I can balance myself better over there.
I like the
and there's less people there that are shoving you around.
That's true.
People seem to avoid the twisty area.
Yeah, and I like the part opposite of the doors. You know the two sets of doors at the back.
Yeah.
I love that's my spot.
It's got some sort of vent or something.
Yeah,
that you can lean on.
Yeah, you can lean against that. You don't have to take your backpack off if you're standing there.
Yeah,
because it's completely out of the way and you're not bumping that shit into anybody. Just to be clear, if you see me on the streetcar, I'll have my backpack on when I'm standing there. So. Just making that clear.
So I have a funny story about a streetcar once.
Let's do it. We could talk, do a whole podcast on funny streetcar stories. Let me tell you.
So I was getting on the streetcar. No, sorry, I was on the streetcar. And I was sitting in the front seats. One of the handicapped seats. So then this old lady comes up. And of course, because I have good transit etiquette, I stand up and I give her my seat.
Good man.
So she sits down. And then we started talking a bit. And she was talking about basically, sometimes people think I'm invisible. And they don't see whatever 87-year-old woman just went in the streetcar. And they're just staring at their phones. And they're completely oblivious to what's going on around them. She just went on and on and on, and I was just listening. The funny part is that she was like, "But you're a good man," and then she reaches in her purse and gives me a chocolate bar.
What?
Yeah, and I was like, "This was like a few years ago," and I was like,
"Yes."
I felt like a 10-year-old kid.
That's like, amazing. What kind of chocolate?
It was one of the big chocolate bars too.
What kind?
It was like one of those Lindt bars. The big ones.
Oh,
it's
like
good chocolate.
Like the solid. It's just a big. Like it's like solid chocolate.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like
those Lindt. I don't know. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, it was
I
like.
I totally know what you mean.
Like the whatever.
Holy shit!
10
man.
Squares by 5. It wasn't like a small one. It was like one of those big ones.
I wonder how many of those she had in her purse.
I have no idea. I was like, what? For real? Take it. You're a good boy.
There's a good transit story. I don't have many good transit stories.
That's my only good one.
I'm trying to think of one. I can't right.
Plenty
now.
Of stories of drunk people and
oh god,
like the transit police coming on board and arresting people.
I've never been on board for one of those.
I've seen one.
Yeah,
but I don't think it was valid. Like the guy was drunk. He was talking to himself, but he wasn't really like bothering people. He was just sitting on a chair by himself.
Yeah,
talking to himself, and then
it's a tough call sometimes, right?
It is. Maybe some people felt uncomfortable, but he wasn't even looking at people. And I was looking at him, and I was like, yeah, I mean, this guy looks like he could be trouble, but he was like. Kind of kept himself. He was just like arguing with himself, but he was just kind of like just staring at the floor, and maybe that just made some people uncomfortable. And
it's weird.
And I could see like the driver kind of like looking at him.
Yeah. Maybe he knew who he was.
The transit police definitely did.
Maybe he's a repeat offender, right?
Maybe. So they, yeah, that's true. They kind of could have, because yeah, the transit police are like, hey, you know, you're not supposed to, or maybe he was just on the streetcar for too long.
Yeah, because think, okay, so here we go. While we're talking about the streetcar, so if nobody knows, I'm totally going on another tangent here, still transit related, but. This is just an FYI. If I am a bit of a transit aficionado, but anyways, The streetcar that Nail and I are talking about, we're talking about the 501 Queen streetcar. And it runs from Long Branch in the west to Neville Park in the east. And I believe it's the longest streetcar route in the world.
Let's find that out.
I believe. And something I've always wanted to do is do the whole thing. Like ride the whole entire.
Oh, man.
What?
Yeah.
Like I want to do that. And it's 24 hours.
It's the longest. Longest one in North America.
Oh, okay.
And one of the longest routes in the world.
That was close. Longest in North America. Still, it's like 26 kilometers or something.
Yeah,
I think.
25.
Yeah.
I don't even know where Neville Park is.
It's like way out there, man. Look on Google Maps. It's out past like Ashbridges Bay. It's like up. It's like kind of up where Queen turns into Kingston Road.
Yeah.
It's like way the fuck out there. Yeah.
That would be a long streetcar ride.
I totally want to try it one time though. Like go from Long Branch there and then back.
Record a podcast on the 501.
My God, could you imagine? We could. Do it at like 4 in the morning. Because it's 24 hours. It's a 24 hour streetcar. Because you'd want it to be kind of quiet.
That's true.
You wouldn't want like some crazy motherfuckers on there.
So it takes an hour and 20 minutes.
To do the whole thing one way?
Yeah.
I guess that's in like the most ideal. Now, an hour and 20 minutes, like, is that like stopping right now, at every
if
stop?
If we get on at 10:45 p.m.
Is that stopping? Are you using the trip planner thingy?
Yeah. So if we get on at Long Branch in 15 minutes, we'll be at Neville Park at midnight.
Huh.
All right. We're going to
think
about this one.
Yeah. No, we should do it. We should just do it one day. We'll do nice like summer day.
Get on it like
spring
midnight.
Day.
Hopefully it's quiet.
Yeah. Get a couple
even if
of
it's not
seats.
Quiet, really. If it's like
who cares? People come and go, whatever. You know?
You can interview people on the streetcar.
That'd be kind of cool. You know you can rent those streetcars, eh?
Yeah. Yeah, we went to an event with Crowd
Tilt. Oh, yeah,
that's
right. That's right.
They tilted a streetcar.
But it only runs on a certain track, right?
Yeah.
So it only goes up and down King?
It went, maybe. But I don't know. But it depends where you're renting it.
I'd want to fucking rent a streetcar and go up and down Queen Street. That would be amazing.
It would be.
I wonder how much that would cost. That would be a great way to have like a party for DevTO.
It's a streetcar party? Just,
yeah,
a
streetcar party.
The problem is that it's not a lot of capacity.
No, I know.
I think it's like... Like the 30? Single ones? The single ones is like 60 people.
Yeah.
Or 50 people.
That's still though. Could be like an exclusive kind of thing.
Yeah.
Be kind of fun. Huh.
You can rent a vintage TTC.
Oh yeah, they still have those old like...
Oh, that's awesome, actually.
Early 1900s, like when they first
came out?
First had the electric streetcars, I believe.
So 2400 for 100. There's an article in the Toronto Star. If you search for streetcar TTC rental, there's an article saying, starting at 1600, customers can have the run of the rails in a modern streetcar anywhere along the city's 82 kilometers of track.
What?
For $2,400, more than 100 transit nerds can pile in a three-hour ride in one of the TTC's articulated or bendy cars.
Oh, dude.
That's not a bad idea.
Dude.
2400, we can do that.
2400, but then like we
do
need
a crowd
to
tilt.
Gotta 100. Get like
we got $25 per person.
Yeah,
and have a party.
Man, we gotta think about this, and we'll do it up and down Queen, 3 hours.
Three
that'd
hours.
Be like that'd be like there and back.
8 to 11.
Man, I'm. What could we gotta come up with a theme around this. It's gotta be like a let's diary this one for later.
Yeah.
we had a good idea live here on the podcast. We're gonna wrap it up though because we've been talking for a while. That went really well. I'm pretty pleased with that. inability to come up with any topics. We just went completely to town on the most random stuff.
We should do that. One of the podcasts, we should have just like a rough outline and see what happens.
Sure.
Although you still had a lot of topics.
Yeah.
Given that we didn't have much to talk about.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I mean. It went beautifully. Beautifully done. Last week, man, we were both so zonked and tired, I think, too. I was listening back to it when I was editing, and I was like, oh, man, we don't sound very good.
that event was like, it wasn't the event itself. It was just like building up to that.
Yeah.
The last couple of days, it was just like a lot of running around. And like even last weekend, I just like, I did nothing. I just like,
That's what I'm going to do this weekend.
Yeah.
Except for a meeting on Sunday.
Yeah, I gotta go somewhere on Saturday too.
That doesn't really count as doing anything.
All right.
Okay. So we'll wrap it up for this week.
Yeah. So we recorded all the things today, literally. Yes, all the things. Talked about so many things. Dude, pretty happy about this podcast.
Yeah, you do the closing.
All right. So thanks for listening to the 416. We do have a Twitter account now. Found out. So it's at the 416. But you can follow me or Chris. I'm at NaelShawwa. And Chris is at
Jonesy.
JonesY. Or you can follow DevTO at DevTO. DevTO. And that's episode 8. It's a wrap.
In the can.
In the can.
Good night, folks.